From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As Dr. Cairns continues this series of studies in the book of Acts, he concludes a message entitled Fettered Hearts. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, please enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection, Morning by Morning. This morning's text comes from Romans chapter 8 and verse 30. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. Here is a precious truth for thee, believer. Thou mayest be poor, or in suffering, or unknown, but for thine encouragement take a review of thy calling and the consequences that flow from it, and especially that blessed result here spoken of. As surely as thou art God's child today, so surely shall all thy trials soon be at an end, and thou shalt be rich to all the intents of bliss. Wait a while, and that weary head shall wear the crown of glory, and that hand of labor shall grasp the palm branch of victory. Lament not thy troubles, but rather rejoice that ere long thou wilt be where there shall be neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. The chariots of fire are at thy door, and a moment will suffice to bear thee to the glorified. The everlasting song is almost on thy lip. The portals of heaven stand open for thee. Think not that thou canst fail of entering into rest. If he hath called thee, nothing can divide thee from his love. Distress cannot sever the bond. The fire of persecution cannot burn the link. The hammer of hell cannot break the chain. Thou art secure. That voice which called thee at first shall call thee yet again from earth to heaven, from death's dark gloom to immortality's unuttered splendors. Rest assured, the heart of him who has justified thee beats with infinite love towards thee. Thou shalt soon be with the glorified, where thy portion is. Thou art only waiting here to be made meet for the inheritance, and that done, the wings of angels shall waft thee far away, to the mount of peace and joy and blessedness, where, far from a world of grief and sin, with God eternally shut in, thou shalt rest forever and ever.
Sound in the morning.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. The response to these broadcasts has been most encouraging. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. If you have written to say that the Lord has blessed you or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then please take our thanks for taking the time to do so. You may contact us by email or telephone or by regular mail. You may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or if you wish, you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy these programs, you might like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In chapters 25 and 26 of Acts, Paul is a prisoner of the Romans and is given the opportunity to speak before the governor Festus, King Agrippa, and Agrippa's wife Bernice. Paul is the man with fettered hands, for Roman prisoners were always in chains. Yet, among the four characters pictured here, only Paul is truly free. The others are in bondage to their own particular sins. Dr. Cairns has given us a view of Festus, a man guilty of infidelity who scoffed at the gospel, Bernice living in incest with her brother Agrippa, and King Agrippa himself, a man who believed the scriptures, but who rejected salvation because of what it would cost him. How clearly Agrippa's response speaks to us of the danger of being an almost Christian. Now here is Dr. Cairns to conclude this message entitled, Fettered Hearts.
Was there never a time when Bernice and Drusilla would have felt the impact of the preaching of the Word of God? Was there never a time when their hearts would have been touched by the message of God's grace? I think surely there would have been a time, as is true with most of us, when the movings of God and common grace as the preaching of the gospel goes out would have touched the heart. But here she is. The years have gone by. She has hardened her heart. She has steeled herself against every influence of God and of good. Here she sits, a queen, but a captive. She's unmoved. She slides out of time and out into hell. And the first movement, and albeit it's a movement of rebellion, for in hell there's no repentance. The first movement in both Drusilla and Bernice is when the fire of God's hell kindles upon them. I say this to you this morning. I want you to think it over very carefully. If you're in this meeting and you're not saved, and your heart has been moved, you have the warrant to come to Christ, and you ought to come. Because he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck. When a man gets hardened, or a woman gets hardened, they reach the stage where they're past feeling. Preachers may preach and you'll not be moved. People may weep with conviction all around you, but you'll not be moved. Others may be coming to Christ in their thousands, but you'll not be moved. God could let you live through the greatest revival in history, but you wouldn't be moved. Past feeling. Oh, what a tragedy when hearts have become like steel to the things of God. That's why the Scripture commands and commends men to come to Christ without delay. Why, when the Holy Ghost speaks, they ought to come. Because when God gives them up to their own reprobate mind and their past feeling, they're beyond hope for all eternity. Then finally, we look at Agrippa. And Agrippa is the man whose heart was fettered by his involvements and by his interests. I just want to run down a few facts about Agrippa from our Bible reading. First of all, Agrippa had knowledge. He was not like Festus. He was not ignorant of the things of God. Agrippa had knowledge. Notice what Paul says in chapter 26. And verse 3, he says, I know thee to be expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. So Agrippa had knowledge. Agrippa knew his Bible. Agrippa not only knew his Bible, but Agrippa had made himself an expert in all the questions that were raised among the Jews in these great theological issues. Now, if that sounds strange to you, I have met a man just like Agrippa. If we could fly across the sea to County Antrim this morning, I could take you along a little country road and up a little rugged lane to a tiny farmhouse. And I could bring you to a man who's unsaved and he knows it. And ungodly and he knows it. But when it comes to matters of what the Bible says, and when it comes to matters of common theology, I don't say he studied in any great depth, but when it comes to a matter of standing before most Christians, aye, and before most preachers, he has forgotten more than most of them ever knew. But he's not saved. Oh, he can give you an expert opinion on any theological issue you want to mention. But he's not saved. Agrippa had knowledge. Furthermore, I want you to notice this, that Agrippa had a knowledge of the gospel. For Paul says to him that these things, that is the death and the resurrection of Christ, were not done in a corner. And Paul knew that Agrippa was well aware of these things. In other words, Agrippa knew that Christ died. And from the tenor of Paul's speech, Agrippa knew that Jesus Christ had risen again from the dead. He had knowledge. I want you to notice something else. He had a certain kind of faith. He had beliefs. His beliefs were biblical beliefs. I have heard various people preach in Agrippa. I have never heard anybody who has emphasized the fact that Paul said to Agrippa, "Believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest." Here's a man, and he believed the word of God. Agrippa was not like Festus. Agrippa was not saying, "The Bible's not the word of God." Agrippa says it is the word of God. Agrippa was not like Festus saying, "I don't believe in the supernatural." Agrippa saying, "The Bible teaches the supernatural. I do believe it." Agrippa wasn't like Festus, who mocked the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Agrippa is really saying, "I believe in the resurrection from the dead." Agrippa believed the prophets. Agrippa believed in the prophecies and the promises of Messiah. Agrippa had a real belief in biblical doctrine. He believed all the right things. I believe that you could bring Agrippa into our midst this morning and you could cross-question him on every vital issue, and Agrippa would come up with the right answer every time. "I know that thou believest." He had knowledge. He had Bible-based beliefs. He believed all the right things with his head. But the awful thing was this, that his beliefs did not affect his life. He believed the Bible. Did that stop him living in open sin with Bernice? No, sir, it didn't. He believed the Bible. Did that bring him to his knees to accept Jesus Christ? No, it didn't. He believed the right things with his head, but his heart was given over to sin. And there were certain things that fettered him. Let me go a stage further. He not only had knowledge, he not only had a certain kind of faith and belief, but Agrippa was moved. Agrippa was moved of God. Sitting by his side, there was a woman who was an iceberg, but Agrippa was moved. Notice carefully, and this is why we started reading in chapter 25, that Agrippa, verse 22, said to Festus, "I would also hear the man." In other words, I want to hear Paul. Paul, the preacher, I want to hear him. Now, Agrippa had come with great pomp into the city. On such an occasion, there would be games. There would be entertainment, such as only the Romans knew how to put on. But there's a preacher here. And Agrippa says, "I want to hear him. I want to hear him." Moved of God indeed. And when he did get to hear him, he said, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Now, there's a great division of opinion among the learned as to the real meaning of those words, and every modern commentator practically that you'll come across says quite outright, the authorized version is wrong, 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 wrong. Well, I believe the authorized version is right. It's right. It's only in modern days that the Greek scholars have come to realize that the Greek cannot mean "almost thou persuadest me," but the people whose language was Greek, the greatest scholars of the early church, they all concurred. This was the meaning. Certainly when Paul answered, he took this to be the meaning. Of course, I must be honest, I think that Agrippa, sitting with Festus on one side and Bernice on the other and the whole Roman council behind him, Agrippa was using ambiguous language. He wanted to leave it so that he could argue his way out of it. that he wasn't really contemplating becoming a Christian. He may have adopted a tone of raillery and mockery. But let me tell you, Paul saw his heart. Paul knew what Agrippa meant. And this is what Agrippa meant. Paul almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Was he moved? He was moved indeed. His heart was wrung with deep conviction of sin. And however he would try to hide it with raillery or mockery, it couldn't be hidden from God or from the eyes of the man of God. His heart was wrung with deep conviction of sin. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. But he didn't come to Christ. Why? Because his heart was fettered by involvements. There was Bernice by his side. There was Bernice. If I come to Christ, what about her? If I come to Christ, what do I do about her? He was tangled. And his involvement with Bernice kept him back. Then there were his interests. The son of Herod, Agrippa the First, could only have an interest in political power, political position, and political promotion. The contrast between Agrippa's political interests and his spiritual interests is starkly realized here. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Now we can read that word today very easily. This is only the second time it's mentioned in the book of Acts. They were first called Christians in Antioch. It was a term of derision. It was a term of hatred. And here, King Agrippa plays with the name Christian. If I come to Christ, I become a Christian. If I come to Christ, then all my interests which are ungodly, all my interests which are worldly and carnal and unspiritual, they've got to go. I think you can almost see the wheels turning over in his brain. Me? Leave my throne? Leave my riches? Leave my gay companions? Leave my entertainments? Leave my position and all my ambitions for the future? Me? Leave all that down in the dust? And me? Become a Christian? I should become a Christian, despised, cursed, cast out, maybe even put to death. That was the dilemma. That was the decision. And he says, almost, right up to the line. He knew it. Knew the gospel. He believed it. He felt it. He was almost persuaded. But he rejected Christ. I want you to notice this. Paul's answer. I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, where both almost and altogether, such as I am, except for these bones. Paul realized this, that to be an almost Christian is to be no Christian at all. Paul realized to be almost persuaded is to be yet rebellious. To be almost persuaded is to be lost for all eternity. Almost thou persuadest me. But his involvements and his interests held him back. Three people with fettered hearts. Festus,
Bernice and Agrippa. If you're not saved this morning, I think you'll find yourself in one of those three categories. In God's name, repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, that you may enjoy the fullness and the riches of God's grace in Christ. Go out of this house rejoicing in the power of the blood of Christ applied to your heart, the justifying, sanctifying, purifying, and glorifying grace of God in Christ. May you come to the Savior and make no delay. Don't stop short. For stopping short of Christ is stopping short of heaven and its entering into hell.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.